about crypto, which way to go, me right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it. Technology on the move, we ride.
Welcome to another episode of Crypto Junkies Podcast. We're here on a Sunday night, February the 6th, having a fun time. This is your host, Ragnar Four.
This is Havoc.
This is Thunder Monkey.
Today, we're so happy to start recording episode 5. Previously, we talked about the number 4, my special number, and this one is number 5. This is someone's, specifically Gary V's special number. He always likes to rock the 5, so we just want to give him a shout out for getting us started into this space, because had we not been told by someone as influential and someone who cares about his community like this, I don't know when we would have gotten started, or would we? Do you think we would have like found out through someone else, or?
No, I don't think so. I think if it wasn't for Gary Vee, if it wasn't for your initial success, we'd probably all still be skeptical. But I'm very glad that, you know, you're a fanboy of Gary Vee. You know?
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so let's get into it, guys. You guys wanted to talk about the rug pulls going on?
Yeah, rug pulls. We wanted to talk about the 80,000 ETH that was stolen from Solana. We wanted to talk about how governments are kind of interacting with the crypto space. There's a couple updates that we have going on. I guess one of the main criticisms that we had from the podcast so far is that we didn't have good outline. So I want to let you know what we will be discussing today.
Yeah.
We'll kind of start off with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys want to get into looks right off the bat?
Yeah, man. A bunch of new sentiments, I would say, because previously on episode 4, I was very bullish, but my stance has kind of changed a little bit.
And so. why is that?
Oh,
why is
your man. Stance?
Is it the having the happening that's supposed to be happening?
So, I have a confession. I sold all my looks.
Ooh,
did you really?
Yep.
When?
I sold $20,000 worth of looks.
Where'd you do this? Last night?
Like 2 hours ago.
Did you come out even?
I came out ahead. I was still up like so I went in 16.5, jumped to 23,000, 25,000.
Oh, okay.
But that was when it was at 540. I ended up selling at like 4 or something.
Yeah.
And I ended up selling for $20,000. Initial investment about 16.5, came out 20K. So that's a 3.5. But yeah, man, I could have easily made 7, 8 plus.
Well, and then also you have your WEETH rewards, right?
That's including with
WEETH.
Yeah. Okay. But it's crazy, right? So let me talk about it, right? I put in 16.5. I was able to get 4,100 looks, somewhere around there. And this was 1 week ago. And within that time frame, I was able to generate 0.75 WEETH.
Yeah.
Which is around $2,200.
Yeah.
Tell me any other institution where you are able to put $15,000-$16,000 and come out ahead $2,000, $2,200 in APR.
Yeah.
In a week, right?
In a week.
That's crazy.
It's asinine. I cannot comprehend how something like that happens, right? So that initial thought will make me bullish, right?
Right.
But
yeah,
I think the tide is turning.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a tough one right now just because I have 30,000 invested. So if it goes bad, this is extremely, that's the NFT market for you. It's extremely volatile, and it's about your belief in what you're investing in. And it's just because it's such a big play. Now, it's a risky, volatile play, but it's something that our listeners should at least know about what's happening in the marketplace, you know, or like. So OpenSea is a trading platform. It's the biggest right now. And Lux is the competitor, which is like community driven. So you're going to get rewards if you have Lux staked. Right now, there's a lot of wash trading. So that's why we're getting those asinine rewards, right? Where you can make $2,000 in a week or so. So wash trading means that you're trading amongst yourself. You might have two different wallets or a couple of different wallets. And you're buying something at a high price. And right now with the marketplace, with Lux, and why it's so innovative is that whenever you're trading, you get actually get Lux as rewards for trading on that platform. You don't, comparatively OpenSea, you don't get any of those rewards, you know? That's why it's making waves right now in this space. But this is the crazy part about it, is that I was actually in a space about looks. And there was someone who brought up a chart from some of the past days of trading. And I believe there was around $14 million that were in rewards to these whales that were trading the NFTs amongst themselves. So when you did the math, it came out to looks costing around $6 a piece, $6.08 a piece. So that's what whales right now are paying for looks. And but the market is $4 or below.
It's $3 right now.
Well, yeah, $3.80, $3.75.
Yeah.
And just kind of extend on that. So they are seeing the value of looks at the $6 price point. So why don't they just buy it in the open marketplace? Right.
Because with the amount that they would buy, they would pump the price.
Exactly.
So whales right now are bullish on Thunder Monkey saw an article on this where it was claiming the same thing that we are. That is, whales are bullish on looks. So their goal is to accumulate as much as they can. And yep. This is because looks rare is essentially a DAO. So you're going to, if you have all like the most amount of looks, eventually once all the looks runs out, they're going to give the people who have the most votes. So that means that you have more say on the outcome, how looks operates as a NFT marketplace. If we continue, if we're bullish on NFTs and Web3 and Ethereum and Bitcoin, then that means that this 2022 year possibly looks can 5x, 10x, or like 100x from its current position
right
within 2022. So the rewards, the asinine rewards that we're receiving now can be even more asinine. The 2000 that you made in that 1 week, let's just say, but it can happen. It could 5x.
Yeah, no, yeah, really good. And that's what we were talking about, the wash trader. There was that Twitter space, those guys were talking and they were discussing that person who is buying it's a MeBit, right?
Mm-hmm.
For 15 million every day.
Yeah.
He's trading it to himself and he's buying it from himself every day, which is causing that $15 million in whatever the rewards are on a daily basis. He's a big part of that, that amount of money that's being traded in looks right now.
Yeah, because right now too, looks is actually beating OpenSea in volume by a lot.
And it's only, so looks has only been out for almost going on 30 days. So in 9 days, I think it's going to be 30 days, which is when the halvening happens. The halving. However you guys pronounce
happening.
It.
Yeah, I don't
the
know.
Halving.
Yeah. Did we discuss what the halving is?
No. So the halving, as far as we know, it's basically kind of what Bitcoin does, just to prevent, to keep inflation down on the token itself. So the way looks has it is in 30 days, they're going to reduce the rewards in half. Right now, I think it's 2,500,000+. In a few days, it's going to go down to half of that. In 90 days, it's going to go to half of it. And then 180 days, another half of that. And then 240
and 361 days.
So yeah, it's going to keep halving until the end of the year. And then whatever looks decides to do after that, we have no idea yet.
And so I guess that's what a lot of individuals are dumping or flooding the coin itself right now, because they are waiting for the halving to happen, because they are all predicting that the price point will drop even lower and they want to rebuy back in after the halving. But my problem with that is that we are aware that there's going to be multiple iterations of the halving. And so I'm not sure if that we will have enough demand for people buying looks because of the constant halving destroying the APR. And if I genuinely feel if we don't have that demand, then the price of looks will continue to fall.
Yeah, well, so the only thing I've seen that affects is it only affects the looks reward, right? So you're still getting the WEETH rewards for the daily volume going on in the looks marketplace. So as long as NFTs are on a bull run and there's stuff being traded, you're still going to walk out with, I mean, for WEETH, I think that it was a 50-50, right? So you're probably looking at 300 APY for WEETH right now and then 300 for looks. So, I mean, even if you're still in 300 APY for WEETH rewards, that's still pretty fucking bullish. I think that's great.
Yeah, it's definitely bullish. And it just, once again, there's no other institution or there's no other place where you could put that amount of money and come out so much ahead.
Yeah. I mean, shit, I think even at 50%, it's still
better than anything else.
Because then that would mean Lux token, you know, at 50%. I don't know what price point it would be, but I would assume it'd be probably in $10, $15 range if it gets to that point where the WEETH APY rewards are become lower. That's yeah. bullish. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's a very risky play. So we just wanted to talk about it and recap where we're at. So Alexis is out. He sold his position. I'm on my fucking boat by myself. And
yeah, because I sold my position.
So did Alex.
A few days ago.
But I just want to clarify that after the happening, if I see a price point of $3, I'll rebuy back in for the total amount.
I'm actually thinking of taking my... Right now, I've generated 1.4 ETH. It's probably going to be... I'm generating around 0.1 to point... What do you think? 1.18?
Yeah, something like that.
A day right now?
500, 600?
Yeah, a day.
That's nuts, dude. Yeah. That's like what some people make in a week. Yeah. You guys think about it. That shit's crazy.
It's been crazy. And then also, when this whale took out his position in the morning... You know, he wasn't part of the equation of who was going to receive the rewards. So like it was telling me I was going to get like $1,500 in one day. And I was like, oh, shit, this is crazy. But I think people bought up his position and staked it right away.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Or at least that's my theory, right? So when we're looking at the Lux rewards page, it was showing that we're going to make $2,000-$3,000. But there's no confirmation that this happened. But it makes sense that it will... unstaked all their Lux, and dumped. you could take a look. Someone literally sold $2 to $3 million worth of Lux immediately after that situation or that event, and then immediately after that everybody buys it and then stakes it again,
right?
And so that's when it manipulated the numbers from having such a high reward and then going back down.
In this Twitter thread, there was some information going around that most of the people that are getting out are not whales. They're people with a smaller position that do not want to tolerate that type of risk.
Yeah.
And also would rather have put their money elsewhere.
Yeah. Right? It makes sense. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to lose $5,000-$6,000.
But they are saying that the whales are holding and that there's small quantities being sold, but there's big quantities being bought. So it's risky. All right. So let's talk about rug pulls. We can talk about NFT Instagram page.
NFT Instagram? Yeah. Yeah. So there was a whole thing going on last week where I was reading a post on Twitter. So anyways, they brought it to our attention that there was a Instagram page called NFT. That was their page. And one of the investors to this NFT page was Mark Cuban, right? Kind of like a co-founder of the NFT page, right?
Yeah.
Correct, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So the way this NFT Instagram page worked is they shilled these projects that really had nothing to back up, nothing as far as like utility went. They were pretty much just hype project. There was a Shiba Social Club, Billionaire Dogs Club, Cryptalk, Broke Boys. So there was a few. So basically the way these projects worked is they had a mint price of around 0.4 ETH to begin with. So think about this, you guys. You got 0.4 ETH. You got a 10,000 collection. I mean, that's a few thousand ETH, right? 0.4, 10,000?
Yeah. At the current price, what would that be? Like $3,600, $1,200 just to mint one of these projects.
Yeah, and that's a few million for the creators' pockets.
Yeah.
And there was multiple of these projects coming out, and the NFT page on Instagram was shilling them, promoting them. And for their promotions, they were charging around $100,000 just to get your project promoted on there. And I think we have asked before in the past from a friend's project about how much they were charging for advertising, and they were really high. They were
it was
hundreds of thousands they had asked for. And so basically what's going on with these projects is people mint them, you're holding for a while, it probably starts off well in the beginning, you're probably looking at one ETH to start off with, you're thinking, okay, this is a good project. But then what happens is the communities die down on these. A lot of these floors right now, they're sitting at 70% below what they actually minted for. So there's some that had dropped down to like 0.08 ETH, not even close to the initial investment that people had made, which is crazy. Honestly, that's frustrating. That's annoying that somebody's out there getting people who are new to the NFT space. Because you think about it, you get onto Instagram, you want to look for something that's official, right? So you see that first NFT Instagram page.
Yeah, the main one.
Yeah, you see they have 2 million subscribers. You're like, all right, well, shit, this is official. They have 2 million subscribers. Then maybe they're doing something right. So you have all these people getting into it, all these new people to the NFT space. And then you start minting these projects and you start to notice your 0.4 ETH investment goes down to 0.08 ETH. I mean, you lost your initial investment to begin with. It's that shit is crazy, man. It's frustrating seeing that, to be honest.
Yeah, they're definitely taking advantage of newcomers who aren't familiar with being able to identify what a good project or a good crypto is. And if you want to learn more on how to find a good project, go to episode 3 and 4, where we discuss what you need to look for to identify a good, solid project, which, you know, the NFT Instagram page was shilling these projects that didn't have any form of utility, didn't have that community that we require in order to invest in solid projects.
Yeah, and a lot of these, so don't get me wrong, some of these projects, they looked really good. Like I had invested into Shiba Social when it came out, and I got out right away. I purchased it at like 0.4 and then I sold for 0.8.
And so for the audience that are unfamiliar with what a rug pull is, it's essentially a pump and dump scheme. What that looks like is that a small set of people hold majority of the coin or hold majority of the collection, right? So their intention is to pump that coin or pump that project by getting lots of people to invest their money into that project or coin. So they use NFT and they use all these legitimate, well, what we perceive to be legitimate accounts, like NFT Kings, like NFT, all these. And so they pay them to promote their coin, their project. So what ends up happening, and kind of how you were talking about, is that they gain so much momentum and so much interest that it pumps the price of that coin and project. So once that small core set of people recognize that the price is at the highest that it will be, then that's when they collectively sell all of their assets, sell the coin, sell the project, sell everything, because they, from the get-go, knew that there was no future for that crypto, for that project, for that NFT. So they sell everything, and basically it initiates a sell-off from the whole community. So something that costs 0.4 ETH, like what Thunder was talking about, could easily lose 90% of its value and go back to 0.04 ETH because there's no community. There's no utility. There's maybe good artwork, but there's no future for that project or for that crypto. And here's a very interesting statistic that I wanted to share with y'all. So chain analysis, they do metadata, they do surveys, they identify what's kind of going on in the crypto NFT space. They identified that $7.7 billion was stolen from pump and dump schemes, from rug pulls. $7.7 billion. And you had a very good take. You were saying that it's most likely the individuals that are barely entering the space that are getting taken advantage of. What do y'all think?
Definitely. That's why we talk about doing your homework. It's a two-way street, just like anything else. So if you're a new person, you have to really do your homework and try your best not to take advantage of something. But at the same token, if you're seeing that something has a bunch of attention and potential to pump, that's like a perfect game for an investor, you know, that just wants, or a day trader. They want to go in on something that has a bunch of hype. They buy it at a couple of ETH, it skyrockets at 10, and then they take their profit.
So it's funny you mentioned hype. There was this thing on Twitter that happened. It was a project coming out. We thought it was coming out. It was called Suck Me. Suck Me on Twitter. And so basically Suck Me on Twitter, what they said is retweet this post and you'll get instant whitelist. So they had a few, I saw a few influencers on there who followed them, retweeted the post. I don't know if they were in on it. I know I saw Raul retweeted it. So I decided to retweet it. I mean, at the end of the day, you followed them. I saw you followed. That's why I tagged you on that post. You were following them. Llama was following them, which Llama was probably in on that scheme that was going on. And so
I probably followed because of Llama.
Yeah. So I ended up following them. I retweeted. And then a few hours later, they came out. They're like, hey, we got you guys. Just to show you guys how the market is. Everyone gets hyped on these projects. And then they said, suck my pee-pee in the thing. And like, I just started laughing because it was just a fake project that somebody created to show that people are just in for the hype. Exactly. And they'll retweet anything just to get whitelist.
Yeah, like according to them, they were also receiving ETH or people wanted to offer them ETH for whitelist. And
it was influencers, right?
Yeah.
Influencers wanting to get whitelist from them to give to their projects. Well, I mean, it comes to show like how hyped everything is right now. Like,
yeah.
If it's hype, you want to get in.
It's so funny.
And we kind of, we do live in a attention economy where we're always looking for the next thing. And so once we, you know, that's why pumping and dumping gets so big right now, because everybody's looking for the next big thing to pump and then dump.
Yeah. This really does remind you. And it's so funny when they talk about the wild, wild west, because it happened a long time ago. That was like an era where there was still a bunch of fake news. You could get away with things. You can say, you know, you can start a company and make all these outrageous claims of what they're doing. And just like you can fake people out and take their money a lot easier back then, you know, the housing market, how they had people even in 2008 with the housing market, just where they were having someone pay $1 per month on a crazy ass mortgage. And then the year later, then all of a sudden they have to pay $10,000 per month, or, you know, just crazy things like that. And that's what's happening right now in this realm. But yeah, I took a moment to go on OpenSea, and maybe this is a little bit of what we should do as well, talk about the top projects. But let's just go on Hate Prime, because they're in the top projects right now. But they did pump to 10 ETH. So that means that there was people that were buying all the way from 5 ETH plus, 7 ETH, 8 ETH. And right now it's back down at 4 to 5 ETH floor. So the reason is because now people have seen some of the art. And some of the art is bad. Like
you got the ears on the hat are like sticking out from the hat.
Yeah, like they go into the hat. It doesn't seem like there's a
cut off.
Yeah, it's cut off. The mask. I think the mask. There's one with like the mask that is covering like half his face.
No way.
Yeah, it's like tar in his mouth. Yeah, it's all janky.
I don't know too much about 3D art, and
so I got to give it to Hate Prime because they've been announcing for months about releasing their project, and I think once they announced the 3D collectibles, after that, people beat them to the punch and started doing 3D collectibles. But Hate Prime, it looked like it could have been a good project. I don't know if they went back and revised some of these, but it pumped. It reminds me of the project that came out a few months ago called Mechaverse, where everybody was really high for it. I think it was one of the first projects to ever hit like 100,000 in Discord.
Yeah.
People were pumping it. It was selling for like, 7-8 ETH at that time?
Correct.
Yeah. We tried to get a whitelist on that one.
We tried, yeah. I was hyped for it. It looked good. I like Gundam. It reminded me of Gundam. And I was like, damn, this seems cool. Let's try to get whitelist. And then once they actually revealed their NFTs, that shit dumped really bad. Like crazy, dude.
It did. It dropped. I think it's still at the like 1 ETH price point. And to be honest, the only reason that the floor is that low is because the people invested 6-7 and they're just kind of holding on to it.
Yeah. I mean,
why not willing to sell.
Why would you sell? There was just so much potential in that project. I still see so much potential in it, but currently sitting, you know, what it's sitting at, what the community thinks it's worth. And they're probably going to have a bad name for themselves from now on.
Yeah.
So I had two examples of this rug pull that I wanted to share with y'all before we move on to another segment. But so there was a controversy recently with a popular YouTuber who created his own cryptocurrency, not an NFT project, a cryptocurrency. He has like 2.2 million followers on YouTube.
Or, is that Logan Paul?
No, it wasn't Logan Paul. I'm not familiar with him. Just because I'm 30 years old and I don't follow YouTubers like that anymore. I follow NFT projects and cryptos now. Basically shilled the shit out of his own coin and had a roadmap. Remember how we're having a conversation whether a roadmap is necessary?
Right.
So in his roadmap, he was saying, I am taking this crypto to the moon. I am going to do X, Y, and Z.
Ah.
But his original intention was to pump and dump his own coin. He shared it with his 2.2 million followers.
Wow.
Obviously, his followers are loyal to him, right? If Gary Vee looked at you right now, Roland, was asked you, hey, can you buy this project from me? What would you do?
If I can afford it, I'll do it.
Exactly. Same thing with this YouTuber's followers. The crypto ended up pumping very high and he controlled 80, 90% of all the crypto coin, sold all of it. All of it. Netted $500,000 off of a couple of days from that $500,000. So from the $500,000, he gave $200,000 to his development team, the ones who created the crypto, the ones who did all the back end stuff, and he netted $300,000. The very next YouTube video that he posted is him buying a Tesla with the $300,000.
He's an idiot, bro. Wow, that's,
I don't think that's true. I don't think there's anything that can be done about that right now, right?
No, I mean, you're investing at your own risk,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So there's no legal action right now. And I think that was one of the things the government was afraid of, is people risking their money and something like that happening where you will lose all your money. I mean, imagine you put in your life savings.
Yeah.
It's not recommended. This is not financial advice. You guys know. And stuff like that happens. Yeah. You put in 100 grand, your life savings, and then boom, somebody just takes it away from you.
But I mean, the same thing with the stock market. There's individuals who put their life savings into these innovative, nice sounding companies that end up going nowhere and it drops 80-90%.
That is true. But I think there's certain security points where you don't, you know, can't invest that much at a certain extent, right?
Right.
For a new investor. All right, everybody. So we're going into an intermission for a few minutes. We'll be back soon.
So I had another example. Gunna, the rapper, G-U-N-N-A, is that the way you pronounce it?
I think so, dude.
He's the one who came up with the extremely viral song Pushing P, which is all over, it's all over Twitter, it's all over Instagram, it's all over TikTok. Pushing P is like number one right now. He ended up shilling a coin called Pushing P. And he sent it to 2.2 million followers. Not an airdrop. He told his followers to buy Pushing P because he was so heavily invested in it.
Oh.
So obviously, once again, the coin pumps, right? The coin went from 0 cents when it was created to 0.0055 cents. In eight hours, it lost 90% of its value and went to 0.0005 cents, right? You could go to Twitter right now and there's so many people who lost their life savings because for some reason they were willing to invest in the coin named Pushing P. Damn. So here's the craziest part. Gunna deleted that original tweet. And so I'm thinking that man netted a lot of money on shilling
Pushing P
coin.
That's in this space, you're going to run into people who don't care about their reputation enough to not rug you. You know what I'm saying? And that's crazy. But and the reason I'm saying it's crazy also is because we're behind Gary Vee. But this is now like the second week that there's another person that I find out about that has connections with Gary Vee that has rugged the community. Now, I'm not saying it's Gary Vee's fault, but it's just like, it's crazy, right? Because you think, oh, that's Gary Vee's friend or someone that he's acquainted, you know, they should be kind of like upper tier like that too. And they still pull stuff like this, you know?
Yeah, because you wouldn't think someone like Gunna, who's would literally pump and dump, rug pull his own followers. Like, you would think his reputation, his brand is more valuable to him. Yeah, but see, apparently not.
That's why I don't like these celebrity projects where people that no one knows. Well, people know who celebrities are, but that's why I don't believe in these projects. I feel like these celebrities already have their millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Why are they getting invested into NFTs where they're already going to be making even more? And we're just not us ourselves, but people are just feeding into this hype. Oh, this celebrity released this. Let's get into it. Get into the hype. And then they just dump it. They don't care about the project.
Like Floyd.
Tag him right now, bro.
That's a good example. You know, let's talk about this. There was a project a few months ago called NFT, what is it, Floyd's World?
Yeah, yep. Floyd's World.
And
yeah,
the community leaders were saying, Floyd Mayweather is in this project. They got Floyd Mayweather to showcase a glimpse of the project on his Instagram, on Twitter. He was saying, Floyd's going to come with us on Discord. We're going to chat. We're going to talk about this project. And you know what, guys? Floyd Mayweather never came on Discord and talked to anybody about this project.
Yeah, and the roadmap was saying that you get to meet him at one of his parties.
Yeah.
You get to get a Rolex from him and all that. Yeah, yeah, none of that ever happened.
And I was one of the guys that I saved myself because I bought the project. And then noticing that people were flooding on it, I instantly sold it. And yeah. I broke even on that.
That's great.
Good. Yeah, I wasn't going to lose on that.
I mean, there were some guys in the group talking about they were sniping. Sniping losses.
We got some snipers in here, boys.
What's sniping, real quick, for the people who listen, just so that they know?
Sniping is when you identify that someone's funding or selling at a very low price, you target it, you snipe it, you capture it, and you know, you basically buy that NFT project. Or
right, no, exactly. So like that, and also just another part of it is you identify something that's worth a little bit more, and you see that someone sells it for less, and you're like, that's a good snipe. That's a good flip right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So since we're on the discussion of rug pulls, and I was speaking about celebrities, how do you guys feel about celebrities in the NFT space?
Pick them. You got to pick the right ones.
Yeah, you got to pick the right ones.
But who do you consider the right ones? I don't consider Gary Vee to be a celebrity.
I think so.
I mean, he's the CEO of a major media company.
I think for me, the distinction is whether the individual is actually invested in the NFT crypto space. Gary Vee knows a lot. I don't think he would tarnish, one, his relationship or tarnish his expertise, right? Gunna with Pusha P, I'm pretty sure he really doesn't know anything about the crypto NFT space. I think that's where my bright line, my threshold, my distinction is does this celebrity or does this individual, is he involved in the space? And if the answer is yes, then I'm more inclined to listen to him. But then again, it goes against the NFT Instagram page because they're heavily invested they shilled in rug pull.
Yeah, I think wouldn't celebrities bring like the most hype to the project?
So that's the problem that I see is that, they'll bring hype, but then think about the dump. Think about, because some of these celebrities, I feel like they don't have the time to sit down and read on Discord, oh, this is happening, we're going to do this next, this is our roadmap for the future. I mean, obviously, they're going to hire a group of people to try to run the project, but at the end of the day, it's just their face on the project. They're not invested into it at all.
Some of them are. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but because most won't be.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, not everyone.
Yeah. So let's talk about some celebs in the space. Paris Hilton, she has a project that's coming out. It's some of her artwork. It's going to be like $11,000, like the buy-in. There was something that was worth less. I think it was $60, I believe. But you would buy it and it enters you into a raffle. And in those raffles, like there's different little cool perks. Like she'll follow you on Twitter. Like she'll do this. But that's what I really like about the NFT space, that it's growing the whole community aspect more, because now you have direct access to some of these celebrities. Like, when would you have thought that you'd have the opportunity for Paris Hilton to like follow you, right, on Twitter,
right,
or for you to go hang out with them? You know. Also, we had, who are some other artists? Well,
so you have Ozzy Osbourne. A few weeks ago, he came out with the Crypto Bats, currently they're sitting at a 1.115.
What was the mint
price?
What was the mint?
It was cheap. I think there was, I don't know.
Oh man, I should have.
Yeah, I would have gone in. I didn't even know that.
I would have gone in back.
Yeah, I mean, and they've. I feel like they've been consistently staying at a one ETH floor price, which isn't too bad compared to some other ones that have dumped.
Yeah. Also, there's a very underserved market. I know our podcast is for the English speaking community, but I actually got to join a space in Spanish, and I was hearing what they were talking about. And you know, they're getting, Latinos are getting into the space. And there was a NFT spaces on Twitter with Thalia. If you know her, you know, and she's been around for a huge while, but the way that she was talking, she seems like one of us, you know, that she's invested into NFTs and she's into the space. So for artists that are into the space, they're excited about the growth, the technology and the community, then I that's pretty neat. Not to say that they're all going to succeed, because they still need to do the right things. Like a lot of projects recently have been doing like the tokenomics and you get rewarded things.
But so like how relevant it was Thalia into this, before NFTs even came out. She's kind of on the down low for a while.
Yeah,
right?
Now she's
and she just came up because NFTs are pumping. Does that not? I mean, for me, that really like triggers me because they come out. They've been sitting low key for a while. It's been a few years. They haven't really been successful in the music careers, although they were a few years ago, right?
Yeah,
they were successful, and I'm sure people still listen to the music.
Right,
but they see NFTs as a
cash
an
grab
opportunity.
Yeah,
opportunity to make money.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, we're here making money too, but I see it like, but that's the thing, like you're just gonna have to pick them, like which celebrities.
Well, yeah,
check this out. So the Super Bowl is coming up, right?
Yeah,
Binance actually has a commercial lined up for the Super Bowl.
That's official.
Yeah, it's official. Okay. And you know what their commercial is? It's not to sell their product or anything, but it's literally a public service announcement, a PSA to tell everybody, the masses, the public, the general public, to not buy NFTs or cryptos from celebrities because the statistic of celebrity-backed projects are all pump and dumps.
I love it.
Shit, that's crazy.
I love that. I mean, I agree with it. It really triggers me seeing celebrities that no one has heard about for a very long time try to get into this NFT space. Like there was Ja Rule, was that the Fyre Festival, right?
Yeah,
he released a 101 NFT and it sold for like a $1.2 million or something.
Right.
I mean, come on, Ja Rule. We haven't heard about this guy for it's been a long time. He pops up on Twitter and gets into some of these projects, and people are like, "Oh, Ja Rule's in the NFT space." But like, in reality, do we really care about Ja Rule? I mean, come on. He was relevant in our early teens years, maybe younger than that.
Yeah. And honestly, I think he's more famous now because of the Chappelle show than, you know, Ja Rule himself.
Yeah.
Because of that one skit of, you know, what's Ja Rule, so I know how to feel about the political landscape right now, you know?
Yeah.
I agree with Binance on that, man.
There's definitely some celebrity hate on this podcast.
Yeah. dude, it's just... I don't know. We're on that topic about Binance. There's a few rumors about other crypto exchanges coming out during the Super Bowl.
Right.
I think Coinbase is rumored to come out with something.
Yeah.
BAYC is supposed to come out during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you guys think any other projects are going to come out? Well, I have a feeling Adidas.
ABS.
I can see Adidas 100%. To be honest, I feel like this Super Bowl is going to be the biggest
NFT,
yeah,
advertising Super Bowl
ever.
Yeah,
not
ever, because it's the first one.
It's yeah,
yeah,
but it's going to be the first one to start it.
But think about it: the Super Bowl is the most watched program in America.
Yeah, like
you're talking about 200 million people will tune in to watch the Bengals beat. The Rams, right?
Wait, how much did you bet? What are the odds?
But this is probably the biggest advertisement to the masses, to the unaware, in crypto NFT history. I cannot think of a more major event where crypto is in the mainstream than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, well, the Super Bowl is mainstream. So Gary does media, right? That's his thing. He's a marketer, influencer, more than influencer, but like a marketer, expert marketer and operator. So he was saying, well, people are complaining about certain, like, I know that Facebook used to cost less to do advertising, or the advertising was less per the people that you were capturing. So now it's costing more money to actually get the advertising done to reach the amount that you want to reach.
Right.
But he was saying, well, if you had the money then and you want to market, and you ask me what's the first thing you do, go get a Super Bowl ad. He's like, that's the number one thing that you can do.
Right.
Like, regardless of like whatever you are, like that's the number, like you're going to reach so many people. That's the number one.
Are we expecting a pump to happen in NFTs during the Super Bowl?
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. Yes.
So here's the strategy. This is not financial advice, but here's the strategy. Have some ETH ready. And once you look at the Super Bowl commercials, and the second
you see one,
buy it right there and then, because it will pump. It
not,
will
not financial advice.
Not financial.
Watch it dump. That's how I feel about the damn stock market. You know, it's like these. That's why I don't like stocks, and I like risky stuff and the big gains. But
it all works off of news, right?
Yeah, like, no, it's supposed to. But recently, the stock market has been shit. Where you get all these catalysts, which are good things that are happening with the company,
BlackBerry.
And it continues to dump. So like, so what is going on with that? Is just like a market correction that doesn't care about a company doing well? Because that's how the market's been recently as far as regular stocks.
Yeah, I've kind of disassociated myself with stocks as well, just because there's so many catalysts for a company where you would think, oh, this is going to be the moment that it pumps 2x, 3x, which is insane. But then, like you said, it just dumps, you know?
Yeah.
While in the crypto space, you're winning more times than you're losing right now.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so let's say we're in the stock market. Stock market announces deal with X company. Okay, boom, it drops 15% that opening day. You know, in the NFT space, Artifact has a deal with Nike at fucking 10x's that day.
Yeah, yeah, it really does.
So I like the catalyst better here in the NFT marketplace. But let's so some other stuff to talk about. Obviously, the Super Bowl is coming. Let's talk a little bit about sports. How did you feel about the game? I know we were playing some poker that night.
I felt that the Bengals are going to take it all. Think about it. It's Mixon, T. Higgins, Boyd. It's Joe Burrow. Right. I mean, you're talking about a superstar team going up against the Rams. I mean, I get it. They have Cup. They have Matthew Stafford. They have Aaron Donald. They have, you know, superstars there as well. But man, the Bengals offense is deadly. And to be honest, the reason why they beat the Chiefs is because of their defense. Their defense is underrated. So Bengals are going to take it all the way.
Any money that you've bet?
Apparently I did.
Last night?
Yeah.
$50?
I was drunk, so I don't remember having like that
$50.
Bet.
I also bet $50 for the Bengals to win.
Okay.
Who did we bet?
Robert.
Dang.
Oh, I shouldn't.
We shouldn't.
We don't know that guy.
Yeah. Well,
I shouldn't have mentioned his name.
It was a bad bet because the odds are against the Bengals. So we should have betted $50 to win 75. But I think we did a 50, you know, 1-1 trade.
Yeah, 1-1.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds pretty good. You don't really watch football, huh?
Nah, not recently. Yeah. Not since the Texans were sorry and they blew all the opportunities that they had when I was growing up. You know, when we had Watt and we had JJ Watt, it was like, yo, this is a beast right here. Our defense was like number one.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a quarterback or offense and like we couldn't score any points. It's like we're holding these boys to like 14, 17 or less, but our asses can't even score more than 16 points. Let's move forward with wallet safety.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I saw you send us a message today on our group chat and you discussed creating a second wallet to keep your transactions safe, sending one to one another, right?
Yes, yes. So what's going on right now is that everyone is jumping into the NFT space. And when you jump in, you have to go to different project websites. You have to connect your MetaMask. And then you usually end up buying or minting a project and you sign that contract. So whenever you sign a contract, depending on how the contract is made, let's say it finishes minting out, after it's done minting or whatever the case may be, they can actually switch the contract around, a contract that you have already confirmed or talked about. After it's finished minting, they can actually change the contract that you've already signed and given permission to. Let's say, you know, you're a day trader or you frequently invest in projects.
Yeah.
It could happen to you where one of these, you actually sign a bad contract. And then all of a sudden, you know, you mint it, it's in your wallet, you're ready to flip. And within a day or so, your account is drained. Someone's transferred your NFTs or taken the best offers and have transferred all your liquid out of your account. It's important to have two different wallets. So you're going to have one wallet that's going to be used to store your most valuable items, most of your money, your Ethereum that you have. And that one, you're going to also protect it with the hardware called a Ledger or Trezor. And that's just giving you a second layer of protection. So what you should do is you would never transact on that account. All that account is used for is to transfer to other accounts, either money that you're going to use on your secondary account. So your secondary account, that's your trading account. So with that one, that's going to be the account where you're minting, you're buying projects. You don't mind signing some random contract that you're trying to make money off of, because you don't. If it gets hacked, well, you don't have to worry because you don't have your most valuable stuff in there.
And then you just, you transfer it. So whenever you mint, you transfer it to your original account?
No, no, no. So the minted NFT, that's another thing. I actually had Alex give me a call because he had minted a project and he said that the team had spotted something fishy going on in that contract. And it was so funny, not funny, I mean, a little bit, only because when I was minting a project earlier that morning, I was talking with my coworker, Sherrick, that I'm going to go ahead and transfer this NFT from this wallet because the wallet that I used to mint had some valuable stuff from me. So I'm like, let me go ahead and transfer this out to my other wallet because in case something fishy happens, I don't want them accessing my stuff.
Yeah.
And then Alex called me like 5 minutes later after I did that and asked me, hey, bro, what should I do? There's this weird stuff going on. And I told him the same thing, bro, you need a separate wallet that you're not going to be using for anything else. This is what you need to do.
Okay.
And then just to end it from my perspective, we also got some more information today that you should probably use different browsers for the different wallets. So what that means is your main wallet, you maybe would have it like on Firefox extension, and then on the other wallet, the one that you're going to be using to transact, you might have it on like Safari or Google Chrome, but you want to keep them on separate browsers,
right?
So that nothing ever gets hacked or intermingled.
Okay, because you guys use your PC for minting stuff and transferring, right?
I use PC, my phone.
I strictly do mobile, and MetaMask uses DuckDuckGo. I don't think DuckDuckGo is a browser, is it?
Or is it? It is a browser.
Okay, yeah. So that's what they use.
But they're very privacy focused.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Which I mean, I think it's a good platform.
So basically, use one MetaMask as an intermediate to do all your transactions, and then the other MetaMask is to store all your assets. So just pay that $10 to move. It's basically an insurance. By paying that $10, a transaction fee from one wallet to the other, you're just insuring that nothing fishy goes on with your assets.
Yeah, which makes sense because it never interacts with any contract. It's solely just the wallet that's sitting there.
Good tip and trick.
Awesome. Let's look at some projects. This is something that we haven't done yet on the podcast, but actually take a look at OpenSea. So I'm going to go to OpenSea and I'm going to click on the stats tab. And then I will click on rankings. So when you click on rankings, it's going to let you know the top 100 projects, and you can start to see what's being traded out there, the volume, the percentage, if it's gone up or down within 24 hours, the supply of the items. So you'll see where it says items. If like the number one project right now, let's talk about it, Azuki. So Azuki is like this anime Japanese style based left looking profile picture.
Yeah.
So those have been pumping, and it's right now it's at 11.48 floor.
Was the catalyst for it to pump that high?
Well, honestly, I haven't hopped into their Discord. I don't know what's back behind it, what the utility is, but this project really reminds me of Sevens. I don't know if you guys remember Sevens. Yes. That came out a few months ago. It's very similar to Sevens.
It's the same, right?
Yeah. I feel like it is. The Sevens, I think, just had a mask on them.
Yeah.
They're different owners, different leaders. Yeah. They definitely might have a different catalyst for their project. I'm sure they have different catalysts for their price to be at, what'd you say, 12 ETH?
11.4, yeah.
Yeah, which is really good, which is probably what, 30,000?
Like, yeah, 35,
yeah,
34.
30, yeah, which is really good. But yeah, I don't know. I personally would get into it. I don't like the artwork, but if I was able to mint it, and I'm sure it was a cheap price, I would have definitely sold at 10 ETH or 11 ETH.
Yeah, yeah. So you can definitely start to look at the top 100 projects and see, you know, what's kind of affordable for you. Now, the current NFT space is a pricey market to get into, and it's very volatile. So if you're not doing your homework, your first investment can very well go to zero.
Yeah.
Some other cool stuff that I've been currently looking at, you know, I've been looking at Doodles. There's Gary's brother, AJ. He's like really hardcore into Doodles and believes that it's one of the projects.
So is NFT Kings. If you go to NFT Kings on Instagram, I think he has about 800,000 followers.
Yeah. Is that his brother?
His brother, but his PFP is actually a doodle right now. Doodle.
Yeah, man. I should have bought a doodle earlier, but the floor level is 15 ETH. So that would be a $45,000 investment. And It's crazy hearing us talk about this stuff, because if I really found the belief and the conviction, I would buy a Doodle for 15.
Yeah. And you know what makes these communities so strong is that everyone sticks together and they hold this project at such a high value. Not a lot of these, or a majority of these, are probably destined to fail eventually, right? Some of the lower projects.
95% of all NFTs are destined to fail.
And so one I want to mention on that top list, I'm pretty sure it's on there, it's Artifact, right?
It's here, yeah.
Yeah, so Artifact, we mentioned it in a previous podcast, was purchased from Nike, or Nike purchased them. And so Artifact, they've been releasing airdrops for their holders, which is a phenomenal thing. They've already received two airdrops. One was a Space Pod, and one of them was a Monolith. That Monolith had the Nike symbol on there, and it also had the Artifact symbol, which is sort of like a lightning bolt running across from it. And people are curious, you know, what that Monolith is going to open to be. It could be a sneaker that Nike collaborated with. And I've seen conspiracies that it's going to be some sort of space related thing.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's sitting at 5 ETH floor right now.
The Monolith?
Yeah.
And this morning when I woke up, the Monolith was around like 1 or like 2 ETH.
Wow.
Wow. So
you could have made about $12,000.
Yeah. It's doubled in just a few hours.
Man.
That's crazy. So just a little bit of projects. Now the ones that we're going to start to mention right now are more blue chips. So blue chips, meaning there's a lot of belief in these projects that they're going to be the ones to last long term. There's a lot of trading going. There's for the most part, good jockeys, and they've just built a very great community. So Cool Cats is another one that I'm looking at, because I currently have a blue chip, which is VFriends, but now I'm starting to look at these other ones, and I'm like, man, it would be pretty cool to own one of these blue chips. Have y'all looked at the Cool Cats?
So Cool Cats, they were a DAO at first, right? It was Cool Cats DAO, and they were taken down from OpenSea at some point because they had the DAO on their name.
Wow.
Begin with.
That's crazy. Huh. And they fought back. Another one is Mutant Ape Yacht Club. We all had opportunity to get into Mutant Ape, and we saw it around 3 to 4 Ethereum.
Right.
And these are when stuff like, so right now, it went on a run and it's at 21 Ethereum. So from 3, so like a 6x or so, right? It wouldn't have been awesome if like some of us would have gotten 1 ETH each and bought a Mutant Ape?
Well, I think we were having that conversation to bundle our ETH to buy one.
Yeah.
We just didn't.
Yeah, we've been trying to, like, we talk about, we've only done it once where everyone in the group and does a small amount, but I guess it's a little more tricky whenever it's a bigger amount.
Yeah.
And then also, like, how are you going to split the rewards, when, and it's a risk, but definitely is something that we need to continue to talk about, because Mutant Ape, we could have bought 2 probably, and, you know, it would have costed, what, 6 to 8 Ethereum if we could have bought 2.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we could have flipped for 50. Yeah, that's going to conclude the episode 5 of Crypto Junkies podcast. This is one of your hosts, Ragnar Four, followed with
Havoc,
Daniel Toledo, aka Thunder Monkey.
Thank you so much for listening in, and we will see you next week.
Crypto Junkies NFT talk, turn it on. Crypto Junkies NFT talk, that's my show. Hello, let's talk crypto. Which way to go? Need right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it. Technology on the move, we ride.